Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brief Nerdy Podcast. My name is Ryan. I'll be your host once again this week. Joining me is my good friend and co-host Trent.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I am great.
It's podcast time.
It is podcast. It's post Comic-Con podcast time.
Post Comic-Con
podcast. So many things I wanted to talk to you about since like Thursday, and I'm like, no, must wait.
This is the first Comic-Con in 7 years that I haven't been to.
How does that make you feel?
Fine with it, I guess. I mean, I didn't go because I needed a break.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of cons lately, and most of my friends have opted to not come with me to San Diego Comic-Con, and it's very expensive when you go with, like, just one or two people. So, I mean, it's like $300 a night in hotels for 5 nights, and then, yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm going to skip this year. Maybe a few years. I think I mentioned before, like, the lines have also just gotten to the point of ridiculous. Not to sound like hipster, like, oh, Comic-Con's gotten too mainstream, because it's not quite that, but it's just like, I guess people are becoming more experts at going to cons, and I use experts in air quotes there, is that, like, they'll wait, like, 2 or 3 days in line to basically sit in a panel room all day because they don't empty out the seats. So it's like, oh, if you want to see the Game of Thrones panel, you better camp out 3 days in line, and then you're going to stay there for every single panel in that room that day.
Yeah, one of the movie reviewer that I watch on YouTube, she's commenting about that and how you're in, if you want to go to one of those main halls, you're in that hall all day.
Yeah,
you don't do anything else.
Yep. And like, you and I went and camped it out for Star Wars, but you know, we arrived at like 7 p.m. the previous night, and then we were still like probably one of the first, you know, definitely the first half, at least for the Last Jedi panel, right?
Yeah.
But, and that's how it was for me for like year 2, 3, and 4 at San Diego Comic-Con. Like, me and my friends would just camp out the night before after the previous day. You know, we'd wrap up the day and be like, okay, let's go get in line. And then we get in line, camp out, and then we would be like in like the 10th row, so to speak, you know?
Yeah,
could get really, really good seats. But then last year, yeah, I wanted to do the Saturday big Hall H stuff with Maggie, my girlfriend. She had never done Hall H before, and it was all the stuff we wanted to see in there. And so, yep, sure enough, like around 6 p.m. the previous day, like we get out, we run, or like we get to the line about 6 o'clock, but we got a little bit early, went back to our hotel and got like our sleeping bags and stuff, and then started walking. And no joke, we walked for 30 minutes and we still didn't hit the end of the line. And we asked the person, like, how long have you been lying? Oh, since about noon today.
Wow.
And at that point, I was just like, there's no way we're getting in, period. Like, we've been literally walking for 30 minutes to try to get find the end of the line.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So we're just like, oh, screw it, we're going back home. Sleeping in the hotel. Mm. So that was just kind of the thing, like if you're not going to any of the big panels at Comic-Con and you've been there for seven years. And so you've seen like the show floor and all the stuff like that for the most part, you know, it's kind of like, I'm kind of needing a break.
Yeah. That makes sense. I'm kind of feeling that way about Star Wars, and I've only been twice, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure I'm going to pull through and force myself to go to the next one for episode 9 because I might as well do the entire trilogy.
And that's how I feel too. Like, once I think we go to the episode 9 panel, in 2019, in 2019, it will, like, I'll be like, okay, I'm kind of done with Star Wars Celebration now. So,
right. At least for a while. If we go, you know, we go in the morning and just check out the show floor type stuff for a day or two rather than go to the major panels.
Nah, I want to go to the major panels.
You do or you don't?
I do.
No, I'm saying after
20. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Because they're really good about streaming everything. And so, like, there is something really cool about being in the room. I won't deny that. But I think after episode 9, depending on what they do from then on, I'll feel less of a need, I hope.
Yeah, we were there for the, you know, all three new trilogy movies, you know, which is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you know.
Yes.
I think that'd be enough, at least for me. But that's enough about cons for now. We're going to get into a lot of Comic-Con stuff, as I'm sure most of you are aware. But for now, let's go ahead and hit her up our round robin. Da-da-da. Yum. It's a Red Robin joke. This podcast brought to you by Red Robin. Not really, but...
But if you want to sponsor us, we will take it.
One Red Robin manager like Ohio is like listening and like, yes, finally.
All right, so I came up with this one, so I'll go ahead and introduce it.
Okay.
So I was thinking one of the first links that I put in the show notes this week is for a movie that was made from a book that I really enjoyed as a kid growing up. And we'll talk about that one later. But so I thought, you know, why don't we each share a book preferably, but if not, a movie or a TV show that profoundly impacted your kind of like young to adolescent life. So I will go ahead and start, unless you have one you would like to go with.
You go ahead.
Okay. So this isn't the movie, because this movie came out a while ago, unlike Need for Speed.
And... that's a callback there, ladies and
gentlemen. Right.
So listen to episode 4 or whatever it was. Yes. For context, but continue.
So one of the books that I remember really, really liking as a kid and just like having it kind of shake my worldview and like make me think about things in a completely different way was The Giver. Have you ever read that?
Nope.
So it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic, utopian, dystopian future book about a kid who is chosen to be like the next giver. And so he goes to this old man and he's teaching him these things and he learns the true past of their society. And it's just really, really good. I think I read it in like third grade or something. So it's really short. I recommend it to anyone. It's just a good kind of like commentary on society, but also like makes you think about things in a different way type book. So
that's awesome.
That's what I'd recommend.
I have a very boring answer, so I should have gone first, so you could have the better answer. But mine's Star Wars. I mean, I was racking my brain after you put that in the notes, and I was like, what? You know, everything just kept leading back to Star Wars. Huh. You know, as you and everyone knows, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I was a little bit later of a Star Wars fan. Like I've told before, I was probably like 9 or 10, huh. Which is the mid-90s. It was literally like right before the special editions were released. And just like I was as a kid, like I had, I don't want to say a disorder, because it's definitely not a disorder. That it's really bad for me to say. I anything that was live action, I had zero interest in, period. Like it had to be a cartoon or I didn't give a F, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like, nope, don't care. I want to say like Star Wars didn't break me away from that, because I mean I'm sure it was more things like Who Framed Roger Rabbit as well, which is a very impressionable movie on me when I was young. But Star Wars was the first movie that became more than a movie to me in a lot of ways. And then just after seeing those movies the first time and discovering there's a handful of fantastic video games that were out there at the time, you know, stuff like TIE Fighter and X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, Dark Forces, Shadows of the Empire. You know, games like that, and then discovering that at that point there was, you know, dozens of Star Wars books for me to read as well. And so it got me more into reading and, you know, loving Star Wars and then getting excited for the special editions and episode 1 and all that. And so Star Wars has always been more than a movie to me. And so, you know, it's probably had the most impact on me in my life.
Well, I don't think it's a boring answer.
I think it's more predictable. Predictable answer. How about that?
There you go. That's good. Well, cool. I think that's very interesting stuff.
Yeah, you're interesting stuff. But you know what else is interesting? Us changing our podcast formula.
Woo!
Get ready, listeners. We are changing things up. We are doing the what you playing, what you watching at the beginning of the podcast after the round robin.
Hold on to your butts.
Yep, because we're always like, oh, we should aim for like an hour, hour and 15 minutes for a podcast. But then like an hour and 45 minutes later, we're like, okay, well, what you watching? So... So we're going to try to do it at the beginning to try to be more prudent in our schedules and discussions. So here we are. So Trent, what's your plan?
I've been playing a lot of Fortnite. Well, not a lot of Fortnite. I've been playing some Fortnite, which is a game that just came out last
Friday.
Friday, I think. Yeah. It's really fun. I've really enjoyed the kind of like base defense slash exploration and mission types that they have. The different classes are fun. I'm hoping that they add, and I'm sure they will, because this is still early access, but just a lot more loot and, construction abilities and vanity items and things like that. But so that and RimWorld, I downloaded a Star Wars mod for RimWorld, and I've been loving it. I have my little Jedi dudes running around. Funny story, in RimWorld, the mod that I downloaded for the lightsabers apparently requires you to have both a lightsaber and a crystal as two separate items that you can put together.
Nice.
And I did a thing where I could choose my starting pawns and equipment, but I gave the two Jedi lightsabers, but no crystals. And so I didn't realize that their lightsabers wouldn't work at first. Because I just downloaded the mod, and so I get into the game and I'm like, well, crap, I don't have, like, all I have is the hilts. And so this Rebel Alliance group came by to trade with me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, I'll trade with you guys. I like you guys, blah, blah, blah. Because you start kind of neutral friendly with both of the major factions that are on your planet. At least those two, anyway, there's other factions too. But I was looking at the people and doing the trading, and all of a sudden I realized that one of the guys was carrying a rare lightsaber crystal, but he wasn't selling it. And I was like, oh, I'm so killing you. So I like
I needs
surrounded him.
it.
I surrounded him with my people, and then they just started beating him to death, and I stole his lightsaber crystal. So now the Rebel Alliance hates me, and I was gonna team up with the Empire, but they wanted to impose like a big tax on me, and so I was like, F that noise. So now I'm hated by both of them.
Fun.
Yeah.
Trying to think of like who in Star Wars canon has done that, but I don't know of anybody really.
I don't, I'm the did you play that Rebellion game? Not Rebellion. It's like the space and planet strategy one. I forget what it's called.
Oh yeah, Empire at War.
Yeah. I'm the I guess I'm like the corruption third faction from that game or
All right.
something.
Well, Pablo Hidalgo is an avid listener of our podcast, and so he just took your story and he's going to canonize it.
That's fine. Go for it, Pablo.
I
So what are you playing?
also played Fortnite, not as much as you. I also got it on opening night, but everyone and their mom in our group of friends was playing D&D that night. And so I
Oh,
logged in
yeah.
Discord and was like, okay, well, I'll play Fortnite. So I played through all the tutorial missions and a couple of the non-tutorial missions, but with CPU randos, and I didn't like that, so I'm like, eh, and I'm done. So.
Yeah. There's actually a setting you can hit to where you don't auto join parties, and so you can actually go do those exploration missions by yourself.
Oh, I'll have to do that then,
And
because
it's
I was.
really they're pretty easy, especially if you set your base up right when you're doing your exploration and stuff.
Because I don't know if you know, but like one of the very first missions after the tutorial, like you're walking to this place and then there's a guy like standing on top of a car. It's like, help, help.
Yeah.
Did you do that? Like one of the guys just starts like mining the car. I'm like, dude, what are
Oh.
you doing? I'm like, stop. I'm like, I'm chat, stop, stop, stop.
Yeah, the other problem I have with going with random people right now is that you basically, the way the loot system is set up, it's kind of first come, first serve. So it kind of encourages people to split up and not help each other and be dicks.
Yeah.
So if you have the faster character and you get to the chest that two people see, like you get the rewards from it and the other people don't.
Yep, and I was also annoyed because I was the only character who had the building perks, and then like I was furthest away from the base, and someone activated it, and they had like the base like I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna build this wall, and someone would, like walk up and just build it, and they built it all like super fast. I was like, geez, and then they like overbuilt, so we didn't get like the bonus.
Oh, I
So
hate that.
we're just like, ah, jeez,
Yeah, so
on
that's why
damn
I turned.
ground.
Yeah, my friend showed me how to turn that off, and so I've been playing with it off and just either playing with people that I know or not at all, just by
Haven't played
myself.
with me yet.
I blame you.
That's okay. That's to be. That's I deserve that. So I've just played a little bit of Fortnite. I've also played a little bit of Gorn, which is a recently released VR game. It's kind of just a fun, quirky gladiator brawler, so to speak. It was only like $7 on Humble or something like that. So I was like, oh, I'll pick it up. Why not?
Nice.
And I had a little, had a bit of fun with it. You know, still a little nervous. So I don't want to like break my TV in the room with my VR in, but yeah, it was still fun to fight gladiators, then rip their heads off and then throw their heads at other people as they come towards you. So, so just a dumb little fun game. The weapons are very like rubbery, you know, it's kind of make up for like when you block a shot, like you don't have haptic feedback, you know. You know, it still kind of blocks it, but not kind of like boring, like bounces off in a weird angle.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's fun.
It's cool.
But getting a bit into the first Destiny, about 2.5 years late on that one, but making my way through it. I'm about level 15 right now, so I just unlocked the secondary classes on my class. I'm going to be a Blade Dancer. Nice. Story is very so far, but also I haven't hit any of the expansion content, and that's what everyone says gets good, because Vanilla Destiny sucked, and I don't really think it sucks yet, but...
So far.
Yep. But I'm enjoying it, so I'm excited to get to the good stuff, and hopefully have the majority of the story content completed before Destiny 2 comes out in October for PC, so...
Nice.
Yeah. What you been watching, Trent?
I finished Supergirl. Okay. There were some good
moments. And you're so powerful, Supergirl. OMG.
Okay, it was not nearly as bad as you made it out to be.
Oh, it was so bad.
By the way.
It was so bad.
I saw it, and I was expecting like this terrible, awfully, badly acted scene, and I'm like, oh, that was it?
No, yeah, I was at full power. You're so strong.
He doesn't say it like that. Anyway. I mean, technically, they're the same strength level, right?
No, not really.
Why not? They're both Kryptonians.
They're both Kryptonian, but, you know, a human that looks like him and a human that looks like her probably wouldn't do super well in a fight against each other.
Yeah, but...
Not to mention he's also been fighting with his powers significantly longer. She was a 14-year-old girl when he was already established as Superman, so his combat experience against other super-powered beings would be... significantly more, because we've literally seen every fight Supergirl's been in so far.
She's had hand-to-hand training from her sister on a regular basis, and she's like a ninja.
Ninja!
And stuff. Like, she's just a secret agent woman.
Yeah. I mean, obviously she needed to subdue him because of the situation it was in, but, and that wouldn't have bothered me. It was the afterwards. You know, even though I'm exaggerating on his tone, you know, the message I think was still the same. I think it was just extreme pandering.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, no, it's okay. I mean, I thought it was okay. I'm really curious. So we're going to enter a little bit of spoiler stuff in case you're really far behind on Supergirl. Skip ahead a few minutes. I thought it was really dumb that Mon-El had to leave. I'm curious if he's coming back or not. I haven't checked casting news, so I don't know for sure.
I thought that was a good scene, though.
It was a really good scene. It was very, very emotional. I just didn't like the fact that it happened because he's like my favorite character on the show right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, every other guy in the show is stupid. Like, I hate Jimmy. When is your typical token IT guy?
He's gotten significantly worse. He was cool in the first season.
Agreed. Jean is, they don't know what to do with him. That's it, really, right? Am I forgetting anyone?
I don't think so.
Oh, Snapper. He was okay when he was on, but he's not as good as Kat. And I loved her being back. Oh, it just made it painfully obvious how much she was the best thing about season one.
Yep.
I hope she comes back more often.
Me too.
Anyway, but the really exciting thing that I've seen this week...
Drum roll, please.
So I finished Supergirl Tuesday night. Started Stranger Things on Wednesday and finished it Thursday evening. All 8 episodes.
I told you, like, you start episodes. I have to watch the rest.
Episodes each night. The only reason I stopped Wednesday night is because it was like 3 a.m. and I'm like, okay, I have to go to bed.
So right, feel free to take a few minutes to talk about it.
Oh my gosh. It's hard to explain. Like, I tried to sell it to someone earlier today, and it's really hard to describe.
But it's the best 8-hour 80s movie ever.
Seriously, it really, really is. Like, they get the tone of it perfect. Like I loved like all the 80s nostalgia feels, because I grew up technically in the 80s. I was 5 when it ended, so I remember like the wall phones and the rotary phones and answering machines and all those things that were being used there. It was so, and I love that the heroes were like these four nerdy kids. They were so much smarter than literally everyone else in the town.
Yep.
And for some reason, it didn't feel dumb for that to be true. And it was super awesome. I think one of my favorite lines, and I posted this on Facebook, when the kid calls their science teacher and asks him what he knows about sensory deprivation tanks and how to build one.
Don't know if I saw your post.
So it's the kid with the that looks like he has no teeth, kind of the cuter
Yeah.
heavy set one. He's like, "Hey, Mr. So-and-so, do you know anything about sensory deprivation tanks, specifically how to build them?" And he's like, "Sensory depri- what is this for?" He's like, "Fun." I just lost it. It was so good.
So, who's your
So
favorite character?
that's probably him, actually. I forget his name. It's not Mike, because Mike is the one with the sister.
Haven't seen him for a
Ooh.
while, so I don't remember his name, unfortunately.
11. Eleven, I liked a lot. I thought she was really cool. That Winona Ryder's performance was really, really good. Actually, I didn't really hate anyone's performance.
I had a bit of a hard time with Winona Ryder. I just,
Really?
not really a hard time. I would just say she was the least good.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know what it is about her, but I could only see Winona Ryder the entire time. Like I couldn't see Will's mom.
I mean, there's a lot of actors, actresses that only have like one character. I don't know if she's one of them or not.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen very often for me. I usually, even very, very famous actors, I usually end up seeing the character. But for her, I couldn't. I just saw Winona Ryder being weird the whole time. So,
Gotcha. His character's name is Dustin,
Dustin,
by
yeah.
the way. He's my favorite. He's just really funny. He's making jokes all the time. Like the thing where he's like, "I'm gonna go get some pudding. I know that lunch lady like hogs him or steals him or
Doesn't
whatever." It's just
it
funny.
show later that she does?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They
Yep.
open the fridge and there's just like
Yeah, that's right.
giant, thing of pudding. So yeah, I love that I still don't know exactly what that thing is and like how it got there. They left so much to be explored still for the next few seasons, and I'm stoked.
And we'll talk about the trailer for two here in a little bit.
It looks so good. So what have you been watching?
Well, just one add piece of commentary on Stranger Things.
Okay.
Not that I am against the Justice for Barb hashtag that go around, because I'm not, but I want to push hashtag Justice for Benny, the freaking fast food store owner. No one ever talks about him getting justice for him. But he helped 11, he fed 11, and got murdered by the government people.
Oh yeah.
So, justice
Well,
for Benny.
and well, I mean, it obviously it showed. I think one of the things that the reason Justice for Barb took off is because she was pretty quirky and interesting, but then also like everyone just made fun of the fact that like her friend found out that she died and got over it in like 30 seconds.
That's true. That's true. Oh, that's so sad. Anyway.
Oh no, Barb. Okay, what about Will? Is Will okay?
That's true. I didn't think about that. So,
But oh my
okay.
God, okay. And to anyone, just to be fair and to be explicit, to anyone who says this show is not scary, you're a liar, 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 pants on fire. I think I should like stream myself watching season two because there were so many jump scares, even when I knew they were coming, like when the Demogorgon would be like behind someone or whatever, and I was like, "Mother effer,"
Yeah.
because the thing was creepy.
Well,
Oh, I love that Home Alone from Hell thing they set up at the end, like the
yeah.
casket, like trap it and set it on fire. That was so cool.
Spoilers, by the way, everybody.
I thought we
That's
were
late.
doing that. Yeah, we've been. I thought we did. We were doing that the whole time.
That's okay.
My
My bad.
bad.
Oh, well, go watch it if you haven't yet. It's amazing.
You need to see it. It's incredible. It will suck you in and not let go.
I was a naysayer. Trent was a naysayer. Or not really naysayer, but more just like, eh. You know.
I was very hesitant.
Like, I legitimately, like, it came out. Everyone's talking about it. I watched the trailer with Maggie, and we both looked at it and went, eh, nah.
Right?
And then didn't watch it. It was, you know, I don't remember exactly when I watched it, but it was fairly recent, so.
Yeah. So, yeah. What are you up to?
I haven't watched much. Just watched one additional episode of Iron Fist. When that Defenders date popped up, I'm like, oh, crap. I gotta get through Iron Fist.
It's like next month, isn't it?
Yeah, like a few weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks. So I was like, okay. So I gotta gosh Iron Fist so I can be ready for Defenders, because I'll probably binge watch that over a weekend when it comes out. So
how far in are you?
3 episodes.
that good, huh?
Yep. The good news is I don't hate it yet. It's just more just I'm pretty neutral on it. So
yeah.
Like I don't know. I mean, you said you liked it, but most people hated it on the internet, and so yeah. I'm still in the neutral. Like
I mean, and like I'm just the other side of neutral into the positive. Like
yeah.
I don't love it, but I overall like when you add in the second half of Luke Cage, I liked it better than Luke Cage.
So the second half of Luke Cage is pretty bad. So.
Right. So, yeah.
So yeah, that's about what I'm watching. Now let's get on to the news before we tackle all of our amazing Comic-Con experiences from the comforts of our computers or mobile devices. Let's talk about a bit about gaming news. This is technically from Comic-Con, so I apologize. But most of you who know me know that I love Telltale Games. I pretty much play every single one of them and enjoy most of them. Announced The Wolf Among Us Season 2. Which I'm very, 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 very excited for. The first season of Wolf Among Us is one of the best Telltale games, if not the best Telltale game, and definitely one of the best games of the year it came out, which I believe was 2013-ish. So it was very, very good. Not only that, it's a prequel to the Fables comics, which I don't know if I've talked about the podcast, but I'm actually reading the Fables comics right now. I'm on issue like 58 right now. So it was perfect timing for me. I'm like just about a third of the way through the comics because it ended, I think, in 2014, 2015 on issue 150. So I'm about a third of the way through it. After having loved the game, decided to pick up the comics, and now they're going to continue on the game. So very excited. That's exciting.
I've seen and heard a lot of things. I've started The Walking Dead season 1 once, and then my computer hard drive died. And I don't know if it's saved to the cloud or not, so I'd have to go and look and reinstall it. But I just haven't made myself do that quite yet.
Well, Walking Dead Season 1 and Wolf Among Us were right in a row, and they were in Telltale's prime. The only other Telltale game that could come close is, ironically, Tales from the Borderlands.
I've heard that was really good.
It was very, very good. So,
yeah.
Better Borderlands games than the Borderlands games, in my opinion.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard a lot of issues about the engine and how it just they're not putting any money into making it better.
While that's true for people like you and me who have powerful PC gaming rigs, it doesn't affect us much, honestly.
But I've heard that even for people who have really good rigs, it still is more troubling than it should be.
I would say yes, more troubling than it should be, but I've never had a noticeable problem.
That's good.
I would say.
Have with you any played of them. The Game of Thrones one?
Yep.
Okay. That's the one that I've heard most complained about because there's like QuickTime events, for lack of a better term, I guess is what I've heard. So,
well, Game of Thrones one just isn't very good. So,
yeah.
I'd say it's worth playing if you're a fan of the show, and you are. So, I'd say it's worth playing, but it's just you play as a bunch of non-main characters, and so or like people that aren't even in the show at all.
That's unfortunate.
And then like someone like Ramsay shows up, and you're just like, oh, okay, well, I obviously can't do anything to you. So, no, it's fine. It was fine, but I would say play some of the more prime ones first, like Wolf Among Us.
Cool, sounds good.
All right, one other piece of gaming news before we move on to Comic-Con is Nintendo's new online service. It is out, and it is apparently terrible, 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 terrible.
It TJ, is out.
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. So there's a few things that people want to note about it is that If you don't know, you have to use a phone app to do any kind of voice chat in the game. Not only do you have to use a phone app to do it, the screen has to be on. If your screen times out for 30 seconds and turns the screen off, it will cut off your voice. If you switch to a different app or push the home button on your device, it will cut off your voice. So the app has to be open and on front and center, and your screen has to be on in order to, for voice chat to work. So
that sounds terrible.
Yeah. So most people really aren't happy with that. It debuted with Splatoon 2. So hopefully they get that taken care of. I mean, again, as of now, it's still free, and they delayed the $20 premium fee or whatever until next year. So hopefully they can get something in order. But, you know, I think Nintendo's at a point to where they just kind of need to get on board with everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, even if you don't want to do it yourself, like give it to a third party or something.
Yeah.
I mean, because if I'm going to use my phone to chat with, I guess the Nintendo one lets you chat with people that are in your game.
Yeah.
So like maybe even strangers and stuff.
I believe so. Not 100% sure, but I believe so.
But it's like if I wanted to chat with my friends and play a game, I would just get on like Discord or, you know, literally any other program.
Yep. So, but think of the children, Trent. Think of the children.
Children, Trent.
Yes.
Even they're not going to like it.
They're going to be like, what? And then hop on their own Discord server.
Right? Because it's that easy to set up. Like, I bet my nephew could do it if he wanted to.
Or before like, Discord.
My nephew knows how to mod Minecraft. Like, he knows, like, and he's like 8 or 9.
For Nintendo games, me and a friend of mine would literally turn on our Xboxes, join an Xbox Live party, put on the headset, because we had wireless headsets, and then play our Nintendo games over the internet.
Wow. Yeah, so. That would do it. Well, I mean, it's like when I was a kid, and there wasn't a lot of, like, multiplayer online at that time, but, like, if you and your friend were, like, both playing Final Fantasy IX, for example, it wouldn't be unlikely to like for me to call one of my buddies up that was also playing it at the same time. We would just talk on the phone while we played.
You're a pioneer of our generation.
I know, right? I did Discord on the phone before it was Discord. Before TeamSpeak.
Halo 2 was my first online chat experience with gaming.
I think about my first online voice chat. It was probably from World of Warcraft.
My first online game I played was the original Age of Empires.
Yeah, first online game, period, was probably Red Alert.
Age of Empires and the MSN Gaming Zone.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was Microsoft's Battle.net. That wasn't very good at all. So, but yeah, so Nintendo, get your crap together and do something better.
Derp. I played online games, way before. Anyway, I'm silly.
Mr. Hipster.
Huh?
Nothing. All right, on to Comic-Con stuff.
That's not me. That's somebody else we know.
What? So again, we're going to technically cheat because this teaser came out a little bit before Comic-Con, but it was a teaser for The Disaster Artist, which is James Franco, Seth Rogen, Baby Franco's movie that's a take on the movie The Room, rather the book.
Did you say Baby Franco?
Yes, that's what I call him. I don't remember his first name.
Is it Dave?
Yeah, it is. But I always call him Baby Franco.
You can just call him the attractive one.
Yeah, it works.
Not that James is unattractive, but his brother's more attractive. Anyway, yeah. So it was funny when you first sent me this, and I was watching, because you posted it in one of our like video groups, I think, on Facebook. And so I was watching it, and I'm like, why is he posting a clip to The Room? Like, this is stupid. And then I'm looking closely, and I was like, that looks a lot like James Franco. That looks a lot like that other guy from all those James Franco movies that I'm now blanking on.
Seth Rogen.
I was like, that looks a lot like Seth Rogen. And then I was like, that is, oh, they're doing a parody. I was slow that day.
Well, it's actually based on a book by the same name, The Disaster Artist, that was written as kind of a behind the scenes. I don't remember who wrote it. I think it was the guy who played Mark in the movie, but again, don't quote me on that.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah. So, but either way, I freaking love The Room so much. TJ needed to be on this week so we could geek out over The Room together. But I love The Room, and I am so excited for this movie. I live in Salt Lake, and they had it at Sundance. If I would have known, I totally would have gone to Sundance to see it.
Oh, nice.
But
yeah. I've never seen it. I don't know that I can purposefully watch stupid movies that are like the whole so good, so bad they're good category.
If you didn't want to watch it that way, I would highly, highly recommend watching it with riff tracks.
That sounds like fun.
It is very, very funny.
I could probably do that.
It is very good.
I'll do that. Also, the best way to watch the Twilight movies.
Yes. The only way to watch the Twilight movies.
Hands down. The only way to watch the Twilight movies.
All right. So, on to more Comic-Con trailers. First off, I mean, we got a lot of them, so let's quickly run through them. We got the Game of Thrones This Season On trailer. Yay! Take it away, Trent.
It was such a good timing for it to land right after the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised they didn't have that kind of trailer after the first episode. I was like, oh, that's why they saved it for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really just exciting moments that they showcased, like, you know, the dragons in fighting and Jon Snow and Daenerys finally meeting, which we also saw in the preview for next week's after episode 3. There's a lot of really exciting stuff. What'd you notice from it?
I noticed the attack on Castle Rock, which I'm very excited about.
Yes. So you've read the books, right?
Yes.
And you're current on them?
Yes.
Okay. How much
it goes way ahead of the books now, though. So
there's nothing in the books that hasn't happened that they haven't just left out?
No.
Okay.
They either skip that storyline entirely or didn't introduce that character entirely, and they're not going to at this point.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it. I mean, my hype for the season's pretty high already.
Yep.
It didn't really add too much. I'll be honest, there was a bit from... I kind of wish that I hadn't seen it, because... we'll talk about this week's episode later, but there was a moment in it where I knew how it was going to end up because of a scene that I had seen in this season on that hadn't
That scene you're yet. Mentioning, was, I think, was also in the trailer that was released, like, weeks ago.
Oh, probably.
Like, I was like, yep, that's going to happen. Yeah, so.
For some reason, it just stuck out to me more when I saw the Comic-Con one.
Gotcha.
When I was watching the episode last night, I was like, it's like, I mean, this is cool, and it's, like, really good cinematics and everything, but I already know how this is going to end.
Yeah.
So that was very sad.
So stay tuned after we're done with all the Comic-Con stuff for our spoiler cast for Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 2.
Yay!
But for now, let's go ahead and talk about A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh my gosh, this is one I'm so excited for. So this was the book that I was talking about at the beginning that was something I read as a kid, and they're making a movie for it. This also technically I don't think was a Comic-Con trailer. I think it just released the week of, but it looks incredible. Like, visually, it looks stunning. It's got Oprah in it, which I'm kind of pleasantly surprised by how cool that, like, her scenes have been looking so far.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about that book or the movie?
I do not, no.
So, I don't know how much I want to give away, because the book is really good, and you should read the book. But basically, this little girl finds out that her dad is missing, and her dad is, like, a scientist who's been working on fifth-dimensional travel. And they talk about how, you know, when you are on the third dimension, you could, you know, like, fold the like 2D objects in a way that they wouldn't be able to understand what's going on because they exist only in the second dimension.
Yeah.
And they talk about how, like, the fourth dimension is time. And so, like, if you can manipulate time, you can mess with things in the third dimension in a way that we don't understand. And so his thing in this book is all about, like, accessing and being able to control the fifth dimension, which is called the Tesseract, I think is what they called it in the book.
This all sounds very familiar. I feel
you might have had to read it as a kid. It's a very common, like, summer reading required book, or like a fifth grade reader type book.
It does seem very familiar, though.
So she gets helped by like these three women who are like interdimensional being type things. They don't really explain that terribly well, at least not that I remember. But that's who Oprah is, one of them. And they have to like rescue her dad from the darkness, which is a very interesting thing. So long story short, it looks really cool. I think they're going to do it justice, and I'm really excited.
You know, this is going to be done justice. The Justice League trailer. No, not really. Looks very meh.
I mean, it looks better than they've given us so far. I was happy. I loved the... I thought it was very smart of them after the positive reviews from Wonder Woman to showcase Wonder Woman very heavily in this trailer. You know, it shows her like stopping a bank robbery.
Yeah.
At the beginning, and then it cuts to her in the museum, and they're like, "What'd you do this weekend, Diana?" She's like, "Oh, nothing exciting." Mm-hmm. Like, that's great. So yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sold on the tone quite yet.
I'm not either. It looks really dark. Although Ezra Miller as the Flash, his bits so far have been really funny.
Oh, see, I felt they fell a little flat. I thought the joke had good content, especially the end where they all disappear. But like, I felt like it didn't land properly.
That one didn't do as well. I liked the earlier one where he's like, "I'm glad that you guys are like ready to go to battle." He's like, "But I've never gone to battle. I usually just push people and then run away."
Yeah, that was good.
I thought that one was really good. It's not just me, right? The same guy who plays Commissioner Gordon is also Jonah Jameson in the old Spider-Man movies, right?
That is correct.
I cannot see him and not see Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Like, he did such a good job in that role where I'm like, why is Jonah Jameson lighting the bat signal? Like, I don't understand what's going on. This is the wrong world.
Pretty much the role he was made for. So,
that does look really good. Keeping on with superhero stuff, Thor Ragnarok looks
amazing.
Incredible. Hat, did you get that? Incredible, because the
Hulk. Oh, you!
So good.
You go. You win the podcast.
But yeah, it looks like they're taking the best elements from Thor and the best elements from Guardians of the Galaxy, and a bit of '80s nostalgia from the synthesizer, and just like throwing it all together. And I couldn't be happier. It looks super fun.
It looks wonderful, and I'm so glad they have Talking Hulk.
Yes, I was so happy about that. I was like, I wondered if they were ever going to do that or not. But I like that it's kind of part of his evolution.
Yep.
And I'm curious how they explain why he's in space. So that's exciting. And I think Kate Blanchett looks ridiculously cool as Hela.
I'm going to throw out a theory out there, if you're okay with that. So, in the comics, in the Infinity War, or just in the Marvel Universe in general, one of Thanos' big things is that he is madly in love with death, yes. aka like a black cloaked figure with a skull underneath and a scythe, you know, yes. The Grim Reaper, so to speak. So, even like they
actually literally in love with,
yes, like,
wants to get it on.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
And they even kind of hint to that in the original Avengers movie when Thanos makes his cameo appearance at the very end of that movie in the mid-credits scene, and his lackey is like, you know, to challenge them is to court death. And that's when Thanos turns around and smiles. So they said it, I think, twice, maybe three times in this trailer. Like,
I'm the goddess of death. Yep.
And so I'm like, are they going to make her the one that Thanos is infatuated with, or are they going to go full Grim Reaper?
That's possible. Thor villains are one-on-one for whether they live through the movies or not. So, like Loki, you know, has been around for a while. The boring guy from the second one is dead, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Hela could definitely survive and join Thanos for Infinity War, which I think would be really cool.
Yeah.
So but just that scene of her like catching Mjolnir, the hammer, and just like crushing it with one hand. Oh, that's so good.
I love the cinematography, the scene with all the Pegasuses.
Yes, the Valkyries coming down out of the sky with the fire and everything. Ugh, it looks amazing.
It does look amazing.
I think her story, isn't she a fallen Valkyrie or something like that?
I don't quite remember.
I remember.
Yeah, I know loving her as a villain and having several good stories with Thor and her as a villain, but I don't remember her origins.
Yeah, so I think she will be another in the line of good Marvel villains for this year.
Yep, so 2017 is the year of Marvel villains.
That's right, I'm pretty stoked. So let's move on.
Before we move on, I do have a question. How do you feel about the fact that they showed off the D23 footage for Infinity War in a panel, but they still haven't released a trailer?
I really want to see it, but I can understand that they really want to push Thor right now. I don't know why they keep showing it to the press to gain hype, but not show us. So I'm a little frustrated, but I'll keep waiting because I don't want to see like a, you know, dash cam version.
Yeah.
Or handy cam, whatever they call it.
Yeah, cool. All right, continue.
So another, the one that I'm probably the most excited for that's not superhero related is the Kingsman sequel. The Golden Circle.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It does look very, very, very good.
Have you seen the Red Band trailer?
No, I didn't know there was one.
Yes.
For two?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It makes shows a little bit more violence, and then it also makes Channing Tatum's line at the end much funnier.
Ooh, I'm definitely going to have to watch that as soon as this is done.
Yeah. So go check that out. Yeah, it looks fun. They've shown a lot of Colin Firth in it, but not explained at all how he's still alive. So
he has an eye patch. He lost his eye.
But he got shot in the head through that eye, right? Like that's how he died in the first one.
No, he had a glass eye, but it was the bullet got lodged in the glass eye. No, I'm just making stuff up. I don't know.
Oh, it's like what is this nonsense? At least I want to go watch the first one again, though, and see if they laid any breadcrumbs for it.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
But yeah, I think it looks funny. I'm a little worried about the villain, because we've seen literally like one thing from her, and I can't tell if I find her scary or compelling or not.
Yeah, it could go either way. I trust her. She's a great actress. It's Julianna Moore, I believe.
Yes.
So sometimes she could do great, but sometimes an actress kind of playing that type of role, like the woman who played the villain in the newest Fast and Furious movie, it didn't quite land.
Yeah.
For me, but.
So I haven't seen that one. I'm excited to see it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. I just thought she was never really like super threatening, and she tried to be like all threatening. I don't know.
All
what adjective I was looking for, but.
Threatening. Cool.
Did you see the Ready Player One trailer?
I did. I know there's a lot of buzz around it. I'm not really, you know, pulled in yet. Like it looks cool. Like the visuals are impressive. And I like it's the kid who played Cyclops, right? In the most recent X-Men.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just like, it's a futuristic VR game. Like they didn't sell me enough on, because I had a friend tell me about the book, and it's about, like, you know, a kind of like dystopian future thing. And there's like kind of a more, you know, government and like future conflict aspect to it, I think, if I'm remembering the right book anyway. But I didn't get any of that from this trailer. It's just like, oh, so people live in shanty towns and play VR games all day. Neat.
Yeah. I squeed at all the references. Like the Iron Giant and the DeLorean and
yeah, and that's cool, and I got most of them, but it's like, is that going to be what the whole movie is about? Like, are you going to be
pandering?
Like,
I could get behind pandering to me.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, like I feel like Stranger Things does a really good job of showcasing 80s nostalgia pieces and references, but without like slapping you in the face with them. And I feel like this one is more like, oh my gosh, it's the Iron Giant. Like, I remember that movie. I love that cartoon when I was a kid. Oh wait, mm-hmm. The movie didn't pause. Like it's still going. And like, I feel like a lot of them are going to pull you out of the movie.
Hopefully not. Cause apparently the book is stock full of them. Probably even more than the movie will have, because the book just didn't care about like licensing and rights and stuff like that, whereas WB publishing this movie, or publishing whatever the word for it, is making this movie, you know, they're probably only going to use WB franchises.
Yeah, that's true.
For the most part, you know, maybe a couple others, you know, but whereas, you know, like I said, the book apparently was chock full of them. And so it's kind of, you know, doing well by the book in that matter, as well as I can anyways. So, oh, you know, I'm excited. People who read the book love the book. They say it's not like any high literature or anything, but it's still a very, 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 very enjoyable book for those of us in our generation. And so to see it translated in movie form and see the DeLorean and the Iron Giant and Deathstroke and Harley Quinn and Duke Nukem and a Halo assault rifle.
And a Tron and, cycle.
Yep. And Freddy Krueger, you know.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun.
So speaking of 80s nostalgia, and I already mentioned Stranger Things, the Stranger Things season 2 trailer looks awesome.
Oh, so good.
Oh, so good. Music choice is perfect. Like, the connection of, like, creatures crawl in search of blood, you know, from the first one is just, like, sent chills down my spine. Like, it was great. I couldn't be happier. Like, I loved the Ghostbusters uniforms that they're in. I love, like, the little arcade game that they go to at the very beginning. It's just, it's perfect. I couldn't be happier.
It does look so good. I don't even know what to say. Like, I love the Dragon's Lair at the beginning, but, you know, I think that's the first thing that took me out of the moment, because no kid could possibly beat Dragon's Lair without pouring millions of dollars of quarters.
Well, I mean, it shows them die, so.
Yeah, but they're at the very end.
Well, they're that good.
They are that good. I believe it, because those kids are amazing. So
they stopped, you know, the Demogorgon. So
that's true. They're
spoilers.
That's you know, dragons and stuff are old hats to them. So
exactly. That's good. If you've seen the first season and haven't seen the trailer, go watch it. It's really, really good.
And are you crazy? Like, go watch it.
Right. And if you haven't seen the first one, go watch it right now. It's just 8 episodes. It goes by really quickly. Just dedicate like a Saturday morning to it.
It's probably just one of the most high quality television shows I've seen ever.
Seriously.
So
it deserves all the hype it's getting, in my opinion. So speaking of hype, I'm a little bit more excited about Star Trek Discovery.
I have no strong feelings one way or the other.
I mean, it's Star Trek, so I'm going to have strong feelings either way. But it's mainly fear right now. Because, okay, so the ship that they, like, the ship battles look cool. I don't mind that it's more, like, Battlestar-ish with its, like, you know, pulse cannons and torpedoes and, like, it's not your typical Star Trek battle. Like, you know, with the, and then like, hitting the shields and the shields
glowing and everything. Yeah, make that noise again, please.
Just like that.
I'm gonna edit your favorite Star Trek episode and with that noise now. We have it on audio. The most epic battle. No, I'm gonna do the movie, the Khan, Wrath of Khan movie.
Oh, man. With every shot, yeah.
Yep. All right, sorry, continue.
No, I saw a movie clip the other day where it's like, oh yeah, it was all the lightsaber fights from Star Wars. But instead of the lightsaber sound, it was somebody saying, wow.
It was Owen Wilson saying,
yeah, wow. That's it. Wow. And I was dying at work the other day. My coworker thought I was going crazy. So anyway, the space stuff looks really cool. The uniforms for the Starfleet officers, I think, look really cool. The aliens look good. Except for the Klingons. Like,
yeah, they looked a little off.
Does every new Star Trek show have to change the way Klingons look?
Like, for real.
I feel like they got them right in Next Generation on. Like, why do we have to mess with that?
I think they just need to look like normal dudes with, you know, dirt on their face, like the original series.
Racist. but yeah, so I was a little bit worried about it. But we shouldn't dwell on it for too long. I'm sure we'll talk about it as it comes closer to September.
Yeah. For those of you who are Game of Thrones fans, the showrunners David Benioff and Dan Weiss announced a new show coming to HBO as soon as Game of Thrones gets wrapped up in like 2050. but it's going to be a Civil War show, but not quite what you think. The show will chronicle the events leading to the Third American Civil War. The series takes place in an alternate timeline where the Southern states have successfully seceded from the Union, giving rise to a nation in which slavery remains legal and is evolved into a modern institution.
Huh.
What do you think?
Did you see some of the controversy about this?
I did not.
So Twitter and some other like groups and stuff were a little bit worried about like the idea of two white showrunners who have an issue with like white savior complexes in their show already, you know, making money off of like slavery stuff. I'm not explaining it very well, and I don't completely agree, but it's also really not my thing to get mad about. So,
yeah, I would, even if it's a legitimate complaint, which I'm not saying it is or it isn't, I think one should judge the show when it comes out off that first.
I agree. So I'm interested. The kind of alternate history thing doesn't pull me in right away, but if it's really good, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have shown that they can make a fantastic TV show with Game of Thrones, you know, even when they're not, you know, just following the books, you know.
Yeah.
It's been one. I mean, the first few seasons were some of the best book to screen adaptations ever. And then even when they didn't have material to base it off of, you know, last season was pretty much all original mostly. And they just knocked it out of the park. So,
yeah. Do you watch, it online, right? Like on HBO Now?
Yeah. With a little behind the scenes after.
Yeah. So I've been seeing those pretty much the whole time because I've been watching them. So I think I started binging like season 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually one of my favorite parts of the episode each week is like getting their kind of like behind the scenes insights into what different scenes mean and like the themes and the choices they made.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
I really enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
All right. Back to some more Marvel news. We got ourselves the first real Defenders trailer.
Yay.
It looks so good.
I'm excited. I think they nailed each character's individuality perfectly. Mm-hmm. I think. And there's a little bit of worry for that because it's being made by the Daredevil showrunner.
Good.
And so people were worried that they wouldn't quite capture the essence of like Jessica Jones or Luke Cage. But she comes across perfectly, in my opinion. So I'm still curious to see how they come together and all that stuff. And Sigourney Weaver is beginning to sell me as a bad guy, just like the way she talks about the the pending destruction and everything.
I love her.
A little bone chilling, and I was like, "Ooh, okay, I can see this being a thing."
So I really got to wonder what the threat is going to be. It's going to have to be big enough to where we need all the Defenders to stop it, but small enough to where none of the Avengers take notice.
Right. Didn't they say like a long time ago that the Defenders enemies in their Defender show was going to be aliens?
I don't remember.
Huh. Because, well, there's stuff in Iron Fist that I want to talk to you about Madame Gao that you haven't seen yet, so I can't tell you. But
yeah, I saw that she's in the trailer, so spoilers, she doesn't die in Iron Fist. That's okay. I deserve it.
You learned some really interesting things about her that I want to discuss with you once you've seen it, so
okay.
Get on it.
Getting on it. All right, I won't talk about this too long because you haven't seen it, but Westworld also had a season 2 trailer, which is very impressive since they just started filming like last week, literally.
Right.
So they like filmed a couple of scenes and made a teaser with it. So.
And they did. Then it comes out in like 2018, right?
Yeah.
Season 2. So
So either way, it looks good for, you know, the 4 scenes we saw teaser wise and just music in the background, but. It kind of gave us a taste of what to expect. You know, not super surprising the way season 1 ended, but you know, either way, it's still going to be a crazy fun season. So
nice.
So I want to talk about the Inhumans trailer.
It's still bad. The YouTube reviewer that I watch, she was talking about how it like trended on Twitter and like people were talking about how much better it looks now and how much more excited they are for it. I was like, okay, so I'll give this thing a watch. And I watched it. And I'm like, people are excited about this? Like, it's still bad. It's a little bit better, but that's not a high bar. So it's like, I don't know.
I straight up said I'm not going to watch it unless like the season is over and the reception for the season in general was like, that was actually really good. You should watch it. Like that's the only way I'll watch it. If not, I'm done being caught up on the MCU.
Yeah, especially since we know that it's not likely to cross over with anything in the movies anyway. So what does it matter?
Exactly.
I'd be curious, like, okay, so I have so many questions. You know, I have someone who's watched most of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Are these the same Inhumans from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because they seem way different. Like, they live on the moon, and they have all these weird
technically
powers.
The royal family. Everyone in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were just, like, X-Men wannabes because they didn't have the rights to X-Men.
Right. But
this is the royal family. They are the leaders of the Inhumans, so to speak.
Why do they live on the moon?
I don't know.
Why do we not know about them? And why can the leader not speak? And why is it a big deal when he like opens his mouth for a half second and everyone looks like they're all going to die? Like, is his power to like destroy everything with his voice?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, but like they don't explain that. And so it's just stupid. And they finally animated Medusa's hair. But in the comics, like her hair is always moving. And so it was kind of a letdown that it only moves like when they have money for it and when they have, need to make like a point with it, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so I got to admit, part of the problem of the trailer for me is that they used the I'm only human from the Andromeda trailer.
Yep. I'm only human.
Right. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't want to say that it's cursed because Andromeda used it, but it reminds me of Andromeda, which didn't do as well as I'd hoped. And it's also, like, it's not as funny because they're not human. They're the Inhumans. But then it ends with some sort of stupid, like, line from the woman to Ramsay Bolton, the guy who plays Ramsay, anyway, he's the big villain of this story. And she's like, he's like, you should like bow to me or swear loyalty or something. She's like, never. You're only human. And I'm like, wait, what? The brother of the king is not an Inhuman? Like, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
So, like, and I don't know why they go to Earth. Like, why does the big giant dog teleport them to the middle of the street? Like, I don't understand anything that's going on or why
you
I should
gotta
care.
Watch it and find out.
You shouldn't have to watch a show to get the basic idea of what's going on and why I should care. Like, that's what the trailer is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't. So.
Speaking of letdown, what about the CW trailers?
This was a letdown in a different way. They released a standalone trailer for every show for the CW Arrowverse and also Riverdale and The 100. I'm sure there were others too, but those are the ones that I watch. And most of them was like 90% flashback, especially Arrows, and it was really annoying.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, why are you showing me what's already happened? Like, I know what's already happened on these shows. I've been watching them. Please show me teases for next year. But, oh, and the Supergirl one was the worst. It was like really epic, like over the top, like orchestral music with like choral pieces and like the da 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 that type stuff, and like it's like just lots of like cameras like zooming in on people looking dramatically into the camera.
CW, everybody,
right? I was like, okay, like the Flash one was decent. It actually showed some actual teases from next season. The Legends of Tomorrow one was good. They showed like the overall plot of the season and who they teased the bad guy. But like Arrows was really not that great. Supergirls was terrible. It showed literally nothing about what's going to happen next season. And yeah, I was let down. I was hoping for more considering they're, you know, already filming and they're going to be premiering in like September, October. So.
Oh, well.
I was let down.
All right, well, that kind of wraps up our coverage of Comic-Con. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff we missed, but we're getting at about time right now. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up with the exception of our Game of Thrones spoiler cast. So we are about to dive into full spoilers for Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 2. So if you haven't watched it yet, go watch it. But watch the rest of the episodes first if you're not caught up. Don't just watch that episode alone. That'd be silly. And if you're not listening to that, we'll see you next week. But in the meantime, spoilers are starting now.
Warning.
Spoiler. I just want to tell you I told you so, Trent.
For what?
Arya stuff.
Oh, yeah. Shut
your mouth. We had an argument off the podcast in a Facebook message conversation about what Arya would do.
I was still surprised that she turned around.
That's good. It's good for them to keep you guessing.
And it's even more sad because she's going to get there and John's not going to be there. And right? He's probably going to die again before she has a chance to see him.
John's not going to die. He's going to be around till at least the next season.
So she's going to show up and it's going to be Sansa and Littlefinger. And she's going to be like, what the F is he doing here? Ooh, maybe she'll kill Littlefinger.
Yeah. Don't forget, Bran will be there too soon.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so the young siblings minus Rickon. Rest in peace, Rickon. Learn how to zigzag, Rickon.
Yeah, that's his own fault. His death is on no one but himself.
Poor kid was just a plot device the entire time that he was on the show. Anyway.
I also felt like at the beginning, not the beginning, but kind of midway through the episode, it should have started with like on this week's episode of the Disgusting Adventures of Samwell Tarly.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Are they going to try to gross us out with him every episode?
Like, you admit, though, they're super on point with their transitions, though.
Oh, God, no. I don't know if I could ever eat chicken pot pie again. Like, that was so bad. Like, I was so glad. Like, I started watching it while I was eating last night, and I'm so glad I was done eating by the time that scene came up, because I was like, God, this is so gross.
You were eating during the poop and soup last week, weren't you?
I was. I had to put my food away and just not look at it for a minute. Like, okay, first off, why are you going to make the guy sit there and try and not scream? Does that school not have any drugs that will knock him out?
That's a good point. Never thought about that.
even if it doesn't, hit him over the head with something. Like, for crying out loud. That was gross. Very well done, though. Whoever the makeup team is that did that was, damn.
Like, totally.
Really good.
I loved Varys' speech at the beginning.
Oh, that was so good.
Like, I've always really loved his character, but that just, like, solidified it.
Well, that's what I was talking about last week when we were talking about, you know, who should sit on the Iron Throne, and I said Varys, and that's the reason why. Like, you know, he came from the worst possible situation, and he wants what's best for the actual people. Because, you know, like the Tyrell woman said, you know, the lords, they're just sheep. You know, it just rotates and changes and nothing changes.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the War Council being run by the four women? I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool too.
I love that they didn't even like set out to do it that way on purpose, but like when the characters all lined up, like they talk about this in the after the scenes thing, they just realize like, oh, these are the four women like that are running their houses right now. Like,
yep.
It's actually kind of accidentally awesome. So
I'm a little worried about Orlena, though, because she seems to be going dark side, or not being the opposite of Varys at the moment, where she only wants vengeance. So versus Varys wanting, you know, to what's for the best of the people and of the realm.
Remind me who that is again?
Lady Tyrell.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's just like, burn the mother effers.
Yeah, she wants them to like burn King's Landing to the ground with the dragons.
So I know it's a bit of a stretch, and I think it's probably not true, but it's still a thought that entered my head that she tipped off Mr. Greyjoy as to where the other Greyjoys were going to be. So the ship would be attacked, and so Daenerys would have no choice but to use the Unsullied or her dragons on King's Landing and not the Tyrell Dorne armies.
Oh, wow.
I don't think that's the case, if I were to choose a side, but it's something that I still thought about.
That is interesting.
Because she's not obviously wasn't a fan of that idea, and she was the last one. She kind of just like nodded her head after everyone else agreed, you know.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if she did that.
Yeah. So how much time took place between like the Greyjoys leaving and Huron getting his fleet? Because I was not expecting him to have those kinds of ships. Those things were huge and crazy and apparently like full of like flaming catapults.
Well, he's always had a huge fleet and just got a lot bigger after he became the king in the last season.
Well, because they said that he wanted them to build him 1,000 ships.
Yeah.
So are they all built? Or are they still building them? Because like, it made it seem like I just from an arms race perspective, it seemed like he caught up awfully fast. To me, anyway.
Yeah, but they didn't take too many with them, Theon and his sister. Yeah, they took a handful.
Gotcha. I thought they'd taken like all the good ships.
I don't think so. I think they just kind of fled for their life and grabbed what they could and people who were loyal to them, which it wasn't that many since they were outvoted.
Yeah. Well, and good for Cersei for actually finally doing something right in terms of military strategy.
Yeah.
Because and I gotta admit, like while Tyrion was explaining their plan, I was like, and you guys just expect this to go off without a hitch? Like, what are the contingency plans?
Yeah.
like, do you not know that Huron is in play? Like, do you not know? I don't know. It just because there was a lot of people making fun of Cersei last week, and I don't know if we talked about this or not, but the fact that they knew that there's this giant fortress called Dragonstone that Daenerys was likely going to come back to, and they just left it open for her to come back to. Like, there's this, you know, army attacking from across the sea. Like, if only they couldn't gain a foothold on land. Anyway, that was funny. So, Cersei has dealt a pretty devastating blow. Do you think Theon's sister is dead?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Mainly because, spoilers, she was in that trailer in the Comic-Con trailer. Was she? Yep.
Okay.
You can see her and one of the Sand Snakes like being brought to Cersei, who's sitting on the throne.
Oh, yeah. So are they the gift?
I guess so.
It's kind of a crappy gift. I mean, I was expecting like, you know, something cool like Tyrion or someone else. I don't know. Whatever. The Sand Snakes fighting Huron I thought was really cool. That was a good scene. Was their mom, like at least one of their moms, one of them's mom who was the leader of the Dornish army? I forget her name.
I don't remember her name either.
But does she not know how to fight?
I don't think so. Not
'cause she just stood there.
Yeah.
But the Sand Snakes were awesome. I was really impressed by them. It's sad that they died, but
I'm happy they died. They were terrible.
Well, they were terrible people.
Well, they were terrible characters, actors, whatever.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, they ruined season 5. Well, they're a big part of what made season 5 bad.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
At least their fight scene here was cool.
It was.
I loved, speaking of good lines, when they were getting on Tyrion at the beginning, and he's like, we don't poison little girls here.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, burn.
Pretty much. What do you think of his transformation back to Reek?
I was expecting it, to be honest. You just don't get over that kind of mental trauma overnight. You know, and he hasn't had to be tested in any kind of like serious way since then. And Ramsay messed him up good for a long time, you know. So I was expecting it. And to be honest, I thought his sister's reaction was a little too harsh.
I agree.
And one of the reviewers that I was watching today said the same thing. It's like, he has an axe to your sister's throat. Like, you're not getting to her before he can kill her if that's what he wants to do. And he's just going to kill you instead, because we all know Theon's not nearly as good a fighter as his sister, let alone Huron.
Yeah.
Is it Huron? Huron?
She has a different name in the books. I think it's Yura.
Oh, no, the guy. Huron? Is that his name?
Yeah,
Greyjoy?
Huron, okay. Yeah.
So, I thought instead of crying and, like, having that, like, you've betrayed me.
You betrayed me.
Look on her, on her face. I thought she should have kind of, like, given him the get out of here.
Yeah.
Look, like, I might die or be taken prisoner, but you should, you know, run away.
Yeah. This battle is obviously lost. Don't throw your life away.
Yeah. So, good. I'm glad we agree on that.
It just felt like it was too heavy-handed, especially with her, like, oh, he's my protector, like, 5 minutes before that.
Yeah, that was a little... Like, it's like, you fight better than he does.
Yeah.
You have the entire season, like, the entire show. Although, it's like, poor guy, it's one, like, one more person that he's, you know, failed and abandoned. You know, he abandoned Rob, he abandoned his father, he abandoned his sister.
Yeah.
Like, where does his arc go from here?
Well, obviously, he's going to find Gendry rowing, and they're going to team up.
Yes. Oh, I would die laughing if that's what happened next episode. Just rowing across in a boat.
Yep. Just super buff. His, like, shirt's all ripped.
His arms would be ridiculous. Let's see what else happened.
The Nymeria scene.
Oh, that was so sad, but, like, good at the same time.
Yeah, I agree.
I love the explanation by the show creators afterwards, because I didn't get the reference.
Ditto.
And I was really sad when she walked away, and I couldn't tell. Like, at first, I thought she was saying, like, "You're not really Nymeria. Like, that's not you," or whatever. But I'm glad that it was more about, like, the, yeah, of course, like, you don't want to come home and be my pet. Like, you've chosen a different course. I forced you to choose a different course. And now you lead this pack of wolves. So it was sweet. I liked that reunion. I thought it was a little sad. Like, I thought that Nymeria, like, should have let her, like, pet her at least.
Yeah.
It was, like, some physical solace before she turned and left, but I don't know, maybe that wasn't in the CG budget.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going to kind of happen, because in the books, Arya unintentionally wargs into her at night.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like all the Stark kids. And so I was wondering if they would have had a stronger connection because of that, but it didn't quite manifest in the show. But they haven't really explained that all in the show, so don't blame them.
So is Nymeria the only one left, or is Ghost still alive too?
Ghost is too.
Okay. They just haven't shown him lately.
Yeah.
Because we know that Rob's, Bran's, Rickon's, and Sansa's are all dead.
Yep.
Okay. That's sad.
So what do you think of the romance scene with Missandei and Missandei? I can never pronounce her name or remember it. And Grey Worm.
Yeah, Missandei, I think.
Yeah, I think that's
maybe.
It.
I thought it was really sweet. I loved his, like, you know, story about fear and, like, how I didn't used to have a fear, but now I do. And I thought it was really interesting, because it could have been taken both ways, of like either I now have a fear because I fear losing you, type thing, or like I was afraid of women, so I need, like, because his metaphor was like, you know, if you were afraid of dogs, they made you sleep with the dog, you know, in the dog kennel, and if you were afraid of heights, they made you jump off a cliff or whatever, and all these things.
Yeah.
And so part of me was like wondering, like, are you saying, like, you're afraid of, like, you know, being with a naked woman, and so you need to experience that to get over your fear? Because it's a pretty good pickup line. I thought it was funny. But yeah, like when she goes to, like, take his pants off, because he's a eunuch, you know, he's very self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very sweet, the way that she, you know, explained that she knows, obviously, that she just wants to see all of him. And I thought that was really sweet.
I also agree. It was really sweet. I'm just to the point where I'm impatient at this point. In terms of, like, we have so much to do in now literally 11 episodes left of this show.
Yeah.
Period. So I'm just like, get on with it.
Yeah, there were a lot of scenes this episode. It felt a little slow in general. And this was an example. I mean, it's really good character moments. Yeah. But, yeah, it felt a little like, okay, nothing's happening. Like, we need something to happen. So, yeah. Anyway, what do you think about it, aside from it being slow?
It was an overall really good episode. I would agree with the slowness just a little bit. But, yeah, fortunately, just because the trailers, kind of what you mentioned earlier, was a little bit predictable there at the end.
Yeah, so what do you think about Rob deciding to leave the North?
John? Yes.
John, sorry.
I'm totally down with it.
Really? I think it's a terrible idea.
Man, you are the Sansa fanboy.
I'm going the other way. I mean, it's agreeing with her position, but I don't think she should be left in charge. Especially with Littlefinger there. Like, she's going to try to take his kingdom from him while he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason that John has to be the one to go. And, like, when even, like, little Mormont lady is telling you to stay, like, you should stay.
Nah, I'm totally on his side on that one.
Yeah, it is.
Mainly because I know things as a reader that he doesn't. But, you know, because he is a Targaryen. He is, you know, him with Dany is Azor Ahai. They are the Song of Ice and Fire. He is the blue flower she saw growing out of the wall in her vision in season 2. Like,
well, I mean, I get the story reasons of why he should go. I don't get the character reason of why he should go. Like, as the King of the North, it makes no sense.
Yeah. Like,
this woman wants to conquer your land as well. Why would you, you know, let yourself be surrounded by her army?
Remember, he never wanted to lead, and his main priority is getting that dragon glass that she's sitting literally on top of right now. And so, you know, if he sends a dignitary, it could be seen as an insult, and it's, you know, game over, man, at that point. And so he thinks that his own life is worth risking to go speak to her. And again, like he says, he's the only one who's seen the threat and can describe the terror in both words and tone and eyes to her for what the real threat is. And so
it's true.
He is risking his own life, but he thinks that the risk is worth it. Because if she doesn't help him, then the North at least is very dead. You know, she may stop them after they plunge through the North and make it all the way down to the Twins. She might be like, oh crap, look at all these ice zombies coming our way. But if he doesn't convince her now, then the North is doomed.
That's true. Okay, you've convinced me.
Hooray! Hooray! Internet high five.
Woo!
Yeah.
Just picturing the Colbert gif when he like turns and a hand pops up behind his desk and he gives it a high five.
All right. Well, I think this should probably wrap up our discussion. Very excited for next week's. Like you said, the trailer showed John and Danny in the same room.
John and Danny.
Yeah.
You said John and it sounded like you said Danny. I was like, who's Danny? Oh,
Danny, sorry. Daenerys Danny.
Yeah. So I'm excited. It should be good.
I'm also excited for sieging of Castle Rock too.
Oh yeah.
By Unsullied.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So do they have any armies left other than the Unsullied? Like, were they all on the boats or the Tyrell and Dornish armies still, like, were they on their way to pick them up?
Yeah, they're on their way to pick them up, I presume. So,
like, who's in charge of Dorne now?
No idea.
Awesome.
Well, probably Cersei at this point. Yeah,
that's probably true. Especially since she has that last daughter that's alive.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, let's
wrap this thing up.
Let's do it.
Take us away, Trent.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Brief Nerdy Podcast. Be sure to reach out to us on our Facebook page, Twitter, email at briefnerdy@gmail.com. Come to our website, briefnerdy.com, and let us know what you think of the show, anything we can do to improve, or anything that you like, dislike, just whatever, whatever you want to tell us.
Explain the Inhumans to Trent.
Right. Tell me why I should watch it and why it's not as stupid as I think it is. And join us again next week for another episode. See you later.
See ya.